What's shocking is that figures and numbers in Iran's online retailing system do not seem to be following the same global pattern, even after the pandemic hardly hit our country. An Iranian team, Radar, notices this unusual pattern. Having noticed the problem, they now come up with their own creative idea.
The idea of creation of Radar started about 3 years ago. It was May or June at 2019. I think we noticed a problem in the online retail in Iran. The problem we touched, the problem we noticed was that why the percentage of online retail in Iran never goes higher than 1 or 2%. At the year before, despite of the presence of the coronavirus, this percentage never went higher than 3%. In comparison to the online shopping, online retail in other countries, in China or in European countries, about half of the population do the shopping through the online platforms. In Iran, despite of the presence of technologies like 4G, even 5G technologies for communication and online platforms, advanced tools that they present to the society, the percentage is the same, 2 or 3%. We did a lot of research, we did a lot of studies, and the only thing we found was that people need to be in connection. People need to be connected, interact with each other, and then decide to buy something online. What we did in Radar, we shift the priorities. The first priority in Radar is interaction of people in, they are in connected with each other. And the second one is the online shopping tools. And this is in this situation that we believe this, that percentage goes higher. If I want to tell you what is Radar, simple way, Radar is a platform fully interactional. People, users are fully connected, are in touch with each other. Sellers can be in touch with the customers. Customers are in touch with the seller. They can chat or talk to each other before every shopping. People are categorized in communities such as students, nurses, doctors, and so on. They can talk to each other, ask, demand, and make a good decision before every shop. Even sellers in this platform can hire their people if they want to employ someone. They can hire through the communities that is there in the Radar itself.
The advantages of the platform, however, do not remain limited to what's been mentioned earlier. Some innovative and revolutionary virtual assets are designed and made accessible to users of the platform.
In Radar, we have some features to be mentioned that are really, really creative and revolutionary. Some of them are named Radarit. In Persian language, we called it Radarishkon or My City or even Window Shopping. For example, if I want to explain a bit about Radarit, you can send your requests, send your questions to all the sellers around yourself or in another city or everywhere in your country before you buy a product online. Even you can choose the radius, you can choose the distance, and now he is the seller that should answer to your request. In this way, Radar is an on-demand platform that what matters is what you want, not what is sorted, what is listed in online stores. To explain our next feature in Radar named My City, or let's say in Persian, Shahreman, a society in which people are categorized in communities such as students, nurses, doctors, and so on. They can talk to each other, they can ask questions, answer to each other, and find everything you need to know before you make your online shopping. The next creative and somehow enjoyable feature of radar is window shopping, or let's say in Persian, bazargardi. By the use of this feature, you can virtually walk through the online stores and have a look at the products, comparison the prices, and the find what you want to buy online.
Radar is currently providing its services for free to all the retailers, a mission of high value to the whole team.
At last, I want to mention one valuable mission we have chosen for our company. Our mission is somehow interwoven with our CSR or company social responsibility. We promote shops and sellers in our platform for free. We promote them to all the customers in the communities, in the province, and for the whole country. We help them to be visited more and to gain more customers and sell more.
With the potential for rapid growth, Radar is already very serious with its visions for the future. Visions from widening its market to providing the opportunity for international export in the long run.
About our vision in Radar, we have short-term vision, mid-term, and long-term vision. Short-term vision, we are developing some creative and revolutionary features such as the merchant. We called it in Persian bazargan, and our midterm and long term vision is to deliver and make accessible radar for the neighbor countries and next to the whole world.
Competing in the retail market on a global scale might not seem like an easy task for an Iranian online platform, but serious with its visions and meticulous with its ambitious plans, Radar seems to be right on its way to fulfill such objectives.
Many thanks for that awesome adventure, as always. Well, we are almost out of time, but before we go, let's look at a couple of news and trends in knowledge-based productions in Iran. Ever wonder where space shuttles get their electricity from? Well, an Iranian scientist has found a way to make energy from a new type of bacteria that can power spaceships.
It's actually a bioreactor that decomposes plastic. The bioreactor was discovered by an Iranian scientist and physician who has won several awards for various scientific breakthroughs. Hamer Milani is known for finding a microorganism that can be used in pharmaceuticals to treat parasites. His discoveries have also been registered in the US National Center for Biotechnology.
Health technology is another area where knowledge-based research has helped Iran advance the sector. In fact, the country has improved its global ranking in this area to show for it.
Based on innovative indicators of health technology development in 2021, the country was ranked 60th among over 130 countries. The ranking is based on the Global Innovation Index by evaluating seven indicators, including institutional structure, human capital and research, and tech knowledge, among others.
Well, that concludes our program for today. I have been Samson Seas. Sees you on the next Bazaar.
I'm a teacher.
I'm a researcher.
I'm a mother.
I'm a lawyer.
And I believe in acting kindly toward you, because you are...
A Muslim lady.
You are very special. There's no one just like you. You are very special. and I'm so glad you're mine.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners. You're listening to the Muslim Lady. This is your host, Zainab. And in this program, we discuss about the issues related to Muslim women. Well, in the previous episode, we discussed a very least spoken topic, miscarriage. And we had Sadiqa. And today also, I had this pleasure to sit with Sadiqa in the studio, who is a specialist in the field of jurisprudence. Today also, we had this pleasure to invite her. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam, and thank you for having me over.
Thank you so much, Sadiqa, for being with us again. And we were talking about Muslim women suffering through a miscarriage and how different societies behave with the women and how Islam treats miscarriage. Well, Sadiqa, when women go through pregnancy, we have this as westernization comes in, as new trends come in. We have been hearing from the women, I'm getting drained. I don't want to go for pregnancy. I have hormonal issues. I have this and that issues. What does it take? How important is it to be a mother in Islam?
You see, what it takes? Imam Sajjad alayhi salam, in his Treatise of Rights, very beautifully explains it. I'm not going to quote the whole thing, but he says, she covered you and she carried you with no one can carry you. And you cannot think apart from with the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yeah. So yes, pregnancy takes a lot of troubles.
Yeah.
But for those who are going through pregnancy and breastfeeding as well after it, I have read this tradition, this narration that says that when a mother finishes her period of breastfeeding, an angel comes to her and tells her, start your life again, because all your sins have been forgiven.
Yeah.
If a mother dies during the process of childbirth, she dies as a martyr.
Wow.
Because all of these, the whole process of childbringing, you see in the Quran when we look at the mother, there's a verse that says, رَبِّرْحَمْهُمَا كَمَا رَبَّيَانِي صَغِيرًا. It is a child's prayer for his mother that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala teaches us. Okay. And over here, the mother is referred to as Rabb. Rabb is a characteristic that is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah is referred to as Rabb. One of his attributes is Rabb. Mm-hmm. But he uses that attribute of Rabb for a mother who nurtures her child. So therefore, this whole nurturing is given so much respect in the Quran that a mother who becomes a mother, you're not even allowed to insult her in the smallest word like "uff," because she's given that great status. Even when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about a mother, he puts it against his own when he says, worship me and respect your mother.
Yeah.
Because to put forward that the importance of respecting the mother, he puts it alongside. Even the Quran, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about pregnancy, he says she carried you with pain after pain, with burden after burden.
Yeah.
Therefore, thank her. Be there for her. We have all this Islamic, you know, for a person who wants to go for congregational prayers, if it affects his mother or if she's going to worry, you can't go for congregational prayers.
All right.
Because Islam takes into account that if a mother has gone through so much difficulty to bring and nurture a child, she deserves that respect that is worthy of her.
Yeah.
That the respect should last till the day of judgment. There's an interesting story that I read. Now, again, I do not know the authenticity of it, but the message that it has is very good. There was a man who had gone to Hajj and he carried his mother on his shoulder.
Yeah.
And for it was Hajj or Umrah, right? The pilgrimage that Muslims have to undertake once in their lifetime.
Yeah.
And he takes his mother through this whole process. Interestingly, the Prophet tells him, even if you do this many times, you will never be able to fulfill her rights, because she brought you up while praying for you to continue living while you were waiting for her death to come.
Oh my God. All right, we'll continue this discussion with you after a short break. Dear listeners, stay tuned to IRIB English Radio.
This is IRIB English Radio. You're listening to Muslim Lady.
Again, there's an interesting story that I had come across. There was a young man who lived in Iraq, and he used to go every week for the visitation of the shrine of Imam Hussein alayhi salam once a week because he had two old parents.
Okay.
Now, every week that he would go, he would take one of his parents with him.
Okay.
He would carry them, you know, because they were quite old. So
he would take care of them.
It takes a lot of difficulty to do this.
Yeah.
So he used to take one of his parents every week. Now, one week, both his parents want to go. So he carries both his parents to his shoulders and brings them.
Mm-hmm.
When he reaches the shrine, he sends his salutation to Imam Hussein and he gets a reply. He gets a reply from the shrine because he had respect for his parents. That's what saved him.
Wow.
Because respecting the parents is given the utmost importance in our religion because these parents are those who nurture you. Today, me and you are here in Qum.
Yeah.
Let's face it, it's because of our parents. They nurtured us to bring us here to the extent that we are told that when you look at the love of the Ahlul Bayt in your heart, thank your mother because she got you where you are today.
Yeah.
So therefore this, and you cannot thank your mother as Imam Sajjad says, unless with the help of Allah.
Mm-hmm. It was such a beautiful discussion with you. You have made me so emotional. I mean, I didn't want to stop you, interrupt you anywhere. You simply just reminded me of my mother, who I have not seen for more than 2 years now. I pray for her wherever she is. She's fine. She's healthy. And obviously in this holy land, I always pray for her and I can never thank her for whatever she has gone through. As you rightly said, to bring us here. They nurtured us in a way that we are staying together in this holy land. Thank you so much, Sadiqa. It was really nice being with you. We were talking about this. We compared the status like Islam has given to a pregnant woman and how women today stay away from the pregnancy and such kind of... it's a blessing, you know. What I concluded from your discussion is that to be a mother is a blessing. It's a great blessing if you... In fact, being a woman is a blessing. You know, when a female child is born, Haven is like done okay for her father. And when she grows up, when she becomes a mother, Havens are under her feet. It's such a great status. Like if I start discussing about the status of women, like I think we have to do so many sessions. Well, I would want to know from you the... role of these women in the history, especially like if we go to Karbala, because we're so near to Muharram now.
Before we enter Karbala itself, I'll just like to go a step back, because what happened in Karbala, if we see Imam Hussein and his courage, his chivalry, his mercy, even we saw a lot of mercy in Karbala, generosity.
Yeah.
Let's go a step back and look at his mother, Hazrat Fatima. We have a lot of historical narrations about her generosity that she had within, to the extent that a whole Surah Insan was revealed in honor of her and her generosity, where she gave her meal for 3 nights to the poor, the beggar, the orphan, and the captive.
The needy.
Even though while she was fasting, she preferred to stay hungry, but to feed those. And the verse clearly states, إنما نطعمكم لوجه الله لا نريد منكم جزاء ولا شكورا. With the Ahlul Bayt, so when they gave the food away, they said, we do not want any thanks or reward from you.
Reward.
We only do it for the sake of Allah. Mm-hmm. Now to grow up under her, and then we see how she protected the whole concept of Islam and wilaya towards the end of her life.
Yeah.
The Prophet's death happens. Some personalities come in and they take away wilaya from its rightful source. She goes to the court, delivers a very powerful sermon where she describes everything. She shows that she's very politically aware.
Yeah.
Hazrat Fatima. She starts off her sermon while praising the prophet and making the people understand who they were and then where the prophet raised them. That's... Like she tells them, you used to drink from the urine of camels. My father came and rose you to the best of creations.
Wow.
Today you are the most honored of people. Mm-hmm. You've been given the most honored of religions.
Yeah.
While you at one point used to drink from the camel, from the urine of camels. How disgusting would that have been?
Yeah.
And then to be within a span of 23 years to raise them to the best of people.
Mm-hmm.
Like you have the likes of Salman and Miqdad from those communities.
All right.
So first she tells them all of this. Then she explains to them why they are against wilaya and what has happened.
The
now go to Karbala. Now Hazrat Fatima's daughter is Hazrat Zainab.
Yeah.
Now in Karbala, she continues the message of her mother.
Yes.
Obviously, Imam Hussein is killed. The ladies are captivated. They're taken to in the presence of Yazid, who was the ruler of the time.
Yeah.
Now, this is a woman, Zainab, Hazrat Zainab, who has been beaten through the strip.
Yeah.
Right? And we have these true traditions where she was whipped constantly till they reached... The minute she stands in front of Yazid, she delivers a sermon that we have known overhauled the whole system.
Yeah.
Within 3 years, Yazid died.
Yeah.
The whole Bani Umayyah system cracked.
Yeah.
It fell. When she enters Kufa,
mm-hmm.
the people are crying because they realize what they've done.
Yes.
And the first sentence she utters, she says, silence. You should cry for what you have brought upon us.
Yes.
And when those people who are present in that society, they very clearly say, when Zainab started talking, we thought Ali had been resurrected. We
yes.
thought Imam Ali had been resurrected. She had the power of a man.
Yeah.
Right? Again, it might not be the most perfect thing to use, but she had the eloquence of Ali in her.
Wow.
And this came because she saw her mother fighting for this issue.
Yeah.
She saw her mother defending wilaya,
mm-hmm.
even though her mother had at one point miscarried
mm-hmm.
before she had to go through these sermons that she delivered.
Mm-hmm.
So obviously Hazrat Fatima miscarried and then she has to go deliver her sermon and portray the true essence of wilaya.
Wow.
Now this continues all the way and it ends with Zainab in Karbala.
Yeah. That was so beautiful. You know, you discussed about two beautiful women in a very short time of history, like about Lady Fatima. We came to know like a woman can be powerful too. She can be politically aware. She can be courageous too, without just going towards the nudity and all. And coming back to Lady Zainab in Karbala, a very important thing that I would like to share with my listeners is that nobody knew Zainab in Medina. Everybody knew Zainab in Karbala. That means she knew very exactly where to talk, where not to talk. And she changed the smiling faces into the crying, into the tears. And then she also, like her father, he hit the Khyber in one strong jolt. She devastated Yazid's Khyber in one strong jolt. Thank you so much, Sadiqa, for being with us. Thank you so much, dear listeners. You are listening to the program, The Muslim Lady. Stay tuned to IRIB English Radio. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Who is the love one?
Allah.
Who is Ar-Rahman?
Allah.
Who is Al-Mannan?
La ilaha illallah. Muhammadur Rasulullah. Muhammad is the messenger. Allah is our return.
The Quran, given by God to Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him and his family, more than 1400 years ago, as guidance for humanity. Quran speaks about women.
The Quran teaches the equality of men and women in the eyes of Allah.
Chapter 33, verse 35.
All praise is due to the one and only. He is the master of all creation.
Modesty and chastity are encouraged by the Quran, both for women and for men.
Chapter 24, verses 30 and 31.
He is the sustainer and the maintainer of the whole universe.
God created us from one male and one female and made us into nations and tribes so that we make to know one another, not to despise each other.
chapter 49, verse 13. La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah,
Muhammad is the messenger, so Allah is our return. The Quran has indicated worthy women in history just as it has mentioned such men, and has commended them greatly.
Chapter 3, verse 37.
This is IRIB English Radio. Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you are and wherever you are listening to us.
The keys of life.
The world is a very, very big house. Many people living in many rooms. We must open all the doors up. We must unlock them all today. Throw all the keys away.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين.
My name is Sheikh Zaid Al-Salami.
A few years ago, I started the course of wanting to commentate on a very important book that I believe is something that would be useful for everyone who reads it, and that is the book Mafatih Al-Hayat, written by Ayatollah Al-Uzma Al-Sheikh Jawadi Amuli. So far, we understand that Islam has a lot to say about rights of animals, about how we deal with animals, how we benefit from animals, how we treat animals, and how bad and evil it is for us to mistreat animals as well. We mentioned, إِنَّ الْمُلُوكَ إِذَا دَخَلُوا قَرِيَةً أَفْسَدُوهَا وَجَعَلُوا أَعِزَّةَ أَهْلِهَا أَذِلَّةً. When rulers, when evil rulers enter into a village, أَفْسَدُوهَا, they will destroy it, they will corrupt it. Now, I think one way of looking at it is that they will bring about havoc, for example, in burning houses, in killing people. Another way of looking at it is that level of facade, of corruption, is looked at from the moral side, moral corruption. And there are many, many ahadith and also many verses in the Holy Quran that I will be sharing with you in this episode that speak about the connection, the relationship between our nature and our nafs. We know, you know, all of these ahadith that say, أَتَحْسَبُ أَنَّكَ جُرْمٌ صَغِيرٌ وَفِيكَنْ طَوَى الْعَالَمُ الْأَكْبَرُ. We know the ayah in the Quran, سَنُرِيهِمْ آيَاتِنَا فِي الْآفَاقِ وَفِي أَنفُسِهِمْ. We know that there is that microcosmic, macrocosmic relationship that we have. But how do we interpret it? And the approach that we need to have is also needs to be a positive, productive approach where someone who might not have that much information about Islam, a Muslim or a non-Muslim, would understand and interpret in the correct way. You know, when we say well, there are droughts, and that's because of our sins. You know, other people might see that to be not only a mockery, but also insulting as well, and saying, you know, like, you know, doesn't God have anything else to do than to harm us human beings by making us suffer because of a plague or because of drought or because of a flood or something like that? So I think we need to understand this within the correct context, especially from the theological topic of shar and shurur and evil. That's not my place here. That's not what I'm going to be discussing in detail, but just for us to look at these things from a different angle, that if I don't protect the amana, if I don't honor the amana given to me, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not be happy with me. And if God is not happy with me, He will block barakatu sama. He will block blessings from the skies, from the heaven. And of course, that could be from because of my own sinning as an individual. It could be because I allow al-munkar to happen. It could be because us collectively are silent towards dhulm and oppression that is happening among us. And so from the different angles, interpreting all of them in the right way.
Ayatollah Javadi Amali, the author of the book Mafatihul Hayat, The Keys of Life. This book, Mafatih, ought to be in two volumes. One volume, the present volume, Mafatihul Janan, is on the level of the lofty rewards for praying, fasting, etc. But the book lacks its second volume, which ought to be on subjects like the lofty rewards for planting a tree. Imam has mentioned both of these subjects. The very Imam, who has stressed out the reward for praying, has also highlighted the reward for planting a tree. There are generous amounts of reward for protecting the environment. When growing wheat, take some in your hand and say these prayers. These are what the very Imam has mentioned. We lack this second volume in Islamic world.
Can we say that with absolute certainty, beyond any doubt, the reason why this flood happened is because you were sinning and you committed this? No, absolutely not. It could be for ibtila, it could be a test, it could be a punishment, it could be bringing back balance, it could be for a variety of other things. I do think that when we see all of these recommendations, what brings faqr, what brings ghina, then we will understand that a lot of it's to do with cleanliness, a lot of it is to do with avoiding sin as well. You know, for example, this hadith says, tarku zina, avoiding adultery, wa kansul fina, and cleaning, sweeping, vacuuming your house, wa ghaslul ina, and washing your utensils, washing the dishes, majlabatun lil ghina, will bring about wealth. Now, of course, washing dishes, there are a lot of mustahabat, a lot of makruhat to do with washing dishes. The most makruh of things related to this issue of washing of dishes is allowing dishes to be left uncleaned, unwashed overnight. So you need to always make sure that your dish sink that your dishwashing sink, that your dishwashing machine, whatever it is, that your sink is clean all the time before you go to sleep. Don't allow it to stay dirty overnight, because it will bring about faqr. This is from Imam Sadiq alayhi salam. Washing dishes, cleaning your house, cleaning your yard, majlabatun للرزق. Imam Rida alayhi salam, it brings about rizq. Imam Rida alayhi salam, kansul fina, cleaning your yard will bring about rizq. I'm going to say house, I'm going to say yard, I'm going to say anything to do with your environment, cleaning your environment. I think that's what A'immatu Ahlul Bayt alayhim salam are saying. Cleaning your front yard, cleaning your backyard, and how mustahab they are, basically means cleaning, keeping your environment clean. Mal'oonun, mal'oon, thalathun, mal'oonun, man fa'aluhunna. You know, again, these are people who have been cursed according to the ahadith of Ahlul Bayt alayhim salam. Someone who relieves themselves under a muthmir, a tree that bears fruit or something like that. Or even ala qari'at al-tariq, even if someone is relieving themselves on a pathway as well, is also something that is reprehensible in Islam. When we are talking about that, we are speaking about how these events, how these practices in our world have an effect on our environment, a detrimental effect on our environment, because we are related to nature. You know, that's why, you know, some people, they say Mother Nature, you know, because there's a connection, you know, there's that relationship that we have with al-tabi'ah, with that which is around us. Walhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين.
Driving past, walking fast to the field of dreams. Hear the children scream.
There was the Keys of Life by Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran, IRIB English Radio.
Every corner represents a different image in my mind. A momentary emotion, space spent in time, in time.
In the limelight.
The latest report from Brazil's National Institute for Space Research showed that the Brazilian Amazon has lost 1,450 square miles of jungle since the start of 2022. Stay with us for an article in this regard written by Jake Johnson, journalist. This article is published under the heading Activist Fear, Tipping Point of No Return, as fires in Amazon rainforest surge. Stay tuned for more. The Brazilian government has published a report showing that more than 2,500 fire hotspots were recorded in the Amazon rainforest last month, the highest number for June since 2007, one of the worst years ever for the critical ecosystem. The latest report from Brazil's National Institute for Space Research showed that the Brazilian Amazon has lost 1,450 square miles of jungle since the start of 2022. Greenpeace Brazil said in response to the alarming figures that the far-right Bolsonaro government's systematic rampage against basic environmental protections is responsible for the surge in rainforest fires and overall deforestation, which have helped transform parts of the Amazon, long known as a key carbon sink, into sources of planet-warming greenhouse gas. Agribusiness is hitting new records for forest destruction as the dry season arrives in the Amazon, said Christian Mazzetti, spokesperson for Greenpeace Brazil, adding, illegal burnings and deforestation have accelerated over the last 3 years as a direct result of the Brazilian government's anti-environmental agenda that encourages the destruction of the forest. Mazzetti added, if this trend does not change, we will approach the tipping point of no return in which the Amazon could fail as a rainforest. Brazilian academics have warned in recent months that a Bolsonaro victory in the October presidential election would mean total demise for the Brazilian Amazon. Recent polling shows that Bolsonaro is trailing leftist former president Luiz Inácio Lula da Silva, who has vowed to pursue net zero deforestation if elected. If Bolsonaro remains in the power of presidency, it's hopeless in terms of the environment, Marcio Astorini, executive secretary of the Sao Paulo-based Climate Observatory, told HuffPost in April, a record-shattering month of Amazon deforestation. Astorini said there will be more deforestation. The Amazon will fast forward to its collapse point. Environmental groups have voiced dismay at the Biden administration's failure to confront Bolsonaro on the international stage over his government's assault on the Amazon. The U.S. is Brazil's second-largest trading partner. Last month, during the U.S.-hosted Summit of the Americas in Los Angeles, President Biden went as far as to praise Bolsonaro for trying to protect the Amazon. In addition to being divorced from reality, Biden's statement is remarkably tone-deaf. Maria Laura Canio and Luciana Teles Chavez of Human Rights Watch wrote on the final day of the summit where the two leaders met for the first time, Biden has shamefully squandered the opportunity to leverage his meeting with Bolsonaro to support the courageous defenders of the Amazon. These defenders are putting their lives on the line to protect the world's largest rainforest and a vital bulwark against climate change. They continued. Biden should correct this mistake and press Bolsonaro to reverse his damaging policies, urging Bolsonaro to get Brazil back on track in fighting deforestation and protecting forest defenders from violence. Diana Ruiz, the head of forests at Greenpeace USA, said in a statement that, up to now, the Biden administration has only legitimized the Brazilian government's anti-indigenous and anti-environmental agenda. Ruiz added, the U.S. has a responsibility to act and stop making deals with President Bolsonaro, who continues to wage an assault against indigenous peoples and environmental defenders.
Fiqh or jurisprudence is an Islamic knowledge and is ranked
The Holy Prophet of Islam is the example
of
self-purification is the most significant factor.
Imamat yek asle zinde ast dar tarikh Islam.
Imamat is a living principle in the history of Islam and Shiism.
This is Ulama Speech, the best selection of the speeches of prominent Shia scholars.
In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, welcome to another episode of the program Ulama's Speech. In this episode, we invite you to listen to the English translation of a short speech by the late Ayatollah Hasanzadeh Amali. Stay tuned.
يا أيها النبي إنا أرسلناك شاهدا ومبشرا ونذيرا.
In Surah Al-Ahzab, Ayah 45, we read, O Prophet, indeed we have sent you as a witness, as a bearer of good news, and as a warner. The prophets of Allah are sent to warn us about the consequences of our bad deeds. The prophets are the witness to our actions so that we do not make a wolf out of ourselves or do evil deeds in this world. Allah did not create us to act like an evil and finally reach hellfire. Allah created us as humans and sent down the prophets to bear the good news to us. The good news reaches those people who find salvation and prosperity in this world. This means that we are responsible for the results of our actions, and we must not blame others for the negative consequences of our actions. We are the guests of our own spiritual food in the other world. Thank you very much, dear listeners, for listening to this episode of the program Ulama's Speech, which was the English translation of a short speech by the late Ayatollah Hasanzadeh Amali. To find out more about this program, log on to our website, parstoday.com/Ian/Call of Islam page. We leave you in Allah's care and goodbye.
Iranian Radio, Global Mission. This is IRIB English Radio.
seventh Imam, Imam Musa al-Kazim alayhi salatu wa salam, is actually known as Bab al-Hawaij.
قال الإمام الكاظم عليه السلام خير الأمور أوسطها.
زيارة of Imam Musa ibn Ja'far al-Kazim عليه السلام.
السلام عليك يا مولاي موسى ابن جعفر ورحمة الله.
This is Dialogue, a program on the famous conversations of Imam Musa al-Kazim alayhi salam. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Welcome, dear listeners. I'm your host, Mahdi, and we're talking about the dialogues of Imam al-Kazim alayhi salam. Imam Musa ibn Ja'far al-Kazim alayhi salam was the direct descendant of the Holy Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings upon him and his holy household. And Imam al-Kazim alayhi salam was also the seventh divinely appointed imam from among the household of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Now, it is interesting to know that Imam Musa al-Kazim alayhi salam was the testamentary trustee, and he was the seventh divinely appointed successor, vice-regent, imam of the Holy Prophet Muhammad. Imam Musa ibn Ja'far al-Kazim alayhi salam was also the testamentary trustee and the only successor of the sixth divinely appointed imam, Imam Ja'far ibn Muhammad as-Sadiq alayhi salam. It is interesting, but we find in the life of Imam al-Kazim alayhi salam that he went through great ordeals, difficulties, trials, tribulations, troublesome afflictions, and it was not limited to these. Matter of fact, Imam al-Kazim was held hostage in prisons. He was put through pain and torture, and it can be said that he was very much like the Messiah, Isa ibn Maryam, in his devotions, his piety, and his asceticism. These are his dialogues.
قال الإمام الكاظم عليه السلام الضعيف من لم يرفع إليه حجة ولم يعرف الاختلاف فإذا عرف الاختلاف فليس بضعيف.
Imam Musa al-Kazim alayhi salam stated, the weak person is one whom the divine proof has not reached and who would not be able to differentiate even if it did reach him. If he is able to differentiate between truth and falsehood, therefore, then he is not considered weak.
Welcome back, dear listeners. It's an honor and a blessing to have you with us. You're listening to Dialogue on IRIB English Radio. Dear friends, when we talk about these beautiful dialogues and conversations of the seventh divinely appointed Imam, Imam al-Kazim alayhi salam, we find that His Eminence spoke about such beautiful concepts in his dialogues. In one such instance, we find that when Imam al-Kazim alayhi salam was talking about work and how we need to make the best out of our work with his companions, his companion asked, what kind of work should one undertake and what kind of work should one not undertake? Imam al-Kadhim alayhi salam said to his companion, whoever undertakes that which is not his work is lost and they are disappointed. It is interesting, but here we find that surely undertaking something which is not our work, meaning something that we don't have a specialization in, something that we are not comfortable with, or something that we are not aware of, or, for example, something that, as I said, is not our specialization, we will most probably end up messing up that kind of work. And when we mess up that work, of course, we find that the work ends up being lost, it becomes wasted, and of course, one is in return disappointed. And so really, we should try our best to do work which is related to our fields, right? And perhaps sometimes a situation might come up where we cannot avoid a certain type of task, even though we are not an expert in it. Well, in that kind of situation, you try your best to acquire the sufficient knowledge in order to be able to do that work comfortably and do that work correctly and appropriately and to the best of our efforts. But otherwise, we should be very careful in not doing work which we are not specialized to be doing. Just one very quick example. It seems like we're talking about religious things all the time, and we consider ourselves to be experts of religious matters. We kind of throw our own individual fatwas, our own individual jurisprudential rulings on anything that we want. The religious aspect and the religious fear and the sphere of the rules and regulations of Islam is a sphere which is under the expertise of experts, religious experts, and we should refer to them when it comes to religious injunctions and not try to undertake a work which is not our expertise. This is Dialogue, Imam al-Kadhim alayhi salam.
IRIB English Radio. You can email us at englishradio@irib.ir.
And now we invite you to listen to Sheikh Hamza Sodagar.
The aspect of, or I should say, one of the aspects that made the imama of Imam al-Kadhim, salamullah alayhi, very critical is the conditions that ended up being the conditions of the ummah and the conditions of the movement of the Ahlul Bayt during that period. It is evident from my reading that the imam knew of this. He intentionally took those positions. He intentionally provoked the government. In other words, he spoke in a way that he knew was going to be leading to his imprisonment. This is what I mean. Not that he wanted them to imprison him, meaning he did, al-ayadu billah, activities. He was involved with